Welcome, one and all. God damn it. Well, I had a giant frog in my throat. Don't make fun of my coronavirus, damn it. I have the coronavirus. Don't be fucking making fun.
Whatever, TJ. You don't even have a picture up. Or you're not sharing the screen.
I'm not sharing screens right now.
Oh my god.
I don't feel like sharing screens with you guys.
Proper extreme, bitch.
You're just a bunch of bastards anyway. You're too mean to share screens with.
Here we go.
You know.
Man, TJ, really on time today, dude. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
What time is it now? Just let me look at my laptop here. Oh, 2:08, man. Right on time. We said, 1 o'clock, TJ, an hour and 8 minutes late.
Whatever. I fucking wrote you guys at 1:14 and let you know I was running late.
Dude, last time I was this late, TJ, I almost got into a fight. But TJ, okay, here's the difference. You weren't like, guys, I'm sorry, I overslept and hopping on the computer right now. Oh my god. It was like TJ was like, all right, guys, I'm awake. I gotta gather the stories. I got a couple things I gotta handle, but I gotta go to the bank. I gotta cut a check to my fucking landlord. Oh, fuck, what else I gotta do? I gotta fucking take Sal for a walk.
I'm gonna tweeze my nose hairs and give myself a foot massage, and I'll be right there, guys.
Guys, I gotta get a pedicure too, man. I know the places are closed. I'm gonna wait for one to reopen.
And then he gets there. He finally shows up in the call, and he's like,
"All right, I'm gonna start pulling stories at a leisurely pace. Won't take more than a couple hours, guys. It's cool. Just hang in there." Just hang in there, guys. I'll be there soon. Then he gets the stories pulled. He's like, "All right, I got all the stories pulled. Just allow me to put these in order, and then I'm gonna go ahead and make myself a 5-course meal and find a yak to milk for a nice tall frosty glass of yak milk straight from the teat. Won't be long, guys.
Yeah, how can you enjoy your lunch without a tall, frosty glass of yak milk?
Think we've started the wait for that. That was my favorite part. We think we've started the wait for that, and he posts something else. He's like,
"Okay, I think I've got the stories in order now, so I'm going to go find that yak and start on that 5-course meal.
Don't worry, guys.
We're just like, what?
I know, we're like, are we in the Twilight Zone? Dude, me and Paul, like, we were about to think, we're in the episode of the fucking Twilight Zone. It's like, ready to go now, TJ? Another minute, guys.
Episode title, Waiting for TJ.
Okay, so that was slightly exaggerated, but whatever.
What? Whatever.
You know, we were sitting here for 45 fucking minutes, TJ.
Okay, it takes a while, especially when I have this, try not to get too much corona shit. Like, if I didn't have this restriction of, don't pull, nothing but corona stories, I could have been here in, 10 minutes.
Okay, if you would, added fucking shit on the fly, that'd been fine, TJ. You fucking failed us, man. So, we both demand an apology.
Because, and a lot of people were bitching about the corona shit,
Fuck them. No, dude, okay, number one. Not a lot of people were bitching about it.
There were.
There
actually were quite a few. But
I looked. There were like two comments going, "I come to you guys to hear the two takes on the news." There was not this mass outcry for us to cover corona.
There was a mass outcry.
This is just because you slept in and didn't want to dig through fucking stories, so you just pulled whatever was on the front page, which is nothing but corona.
My corona.
Here we go. My corona.
We're so reactive to this tiny little bitching fucking, sewing circle of people.
I saw two fucking comments saying they want us to cover more corona. Better do it.
I wasn't even going to say that. My whole reaction to it was just, there's a reason we're not doing the fucking nonstop corona shit right now. And that's because you can find it literally everywhere and anywhere else. So
not only that, but we don't trust the media. So us bringing the late breaking shit might actually give you the information that's bad.
Right. That being said, I did pull. There's a little nugget of corona stories in here, mostly kind of peripheral stories. Oh, and a couple that I pulled to horrify Paul on his birthday.
Sweet.
Well, that's true. Happy birthday to Mr. Ego.
Yeah, I have a few minor proclamations to make
for your birthday.
Your birthday. Do you want to make them now?
Do you want to make them now, or do you want to wait till a little later? You can.
I'll wait till a little later on that. I do want to start the episode with the masterpiece that I started work on while we were waiting for TJ.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
So, this is an erotic story about TJ.
Okay,
that I started writing.
Sounds hot. Wow.
I'm ready, TJ. She croaked through parched, toothless lips. At the beginning, this had been the most nightmarish phrase TJ had ever heard in his life. But now, this many months, or was it years down the line, and it was more akin to a dinner bell for a starving fat hillbilly. He slavishly waddled into Pelosi's opulent bedroom. There she was, on all fours in the middle of her giant heart-shaped beds, using both withered crone claws to spread apart her impossibly saggy butt cheeks. Using both withered crone claws to spread apart her impossibly saggy butt cheeks to reveal her dried up, prolapsed shit shoot.
Oh, God.
TJ salivated at the sight, a true Pavlovian dog. Even though the crusty remnant surrounding that horrid pink sock was his only sustenance now, TJ was somehow fatter than ever. He bumbled forward, his weak ankles wobbling as he moved towards the ancient pink locus of his desire. That's as far as I got.
Thank God. Number one.
Thank God. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Paul, by the way.
Great story.
Keep an eye on your mail because something is coming for you.
Oh,
for the your birthday.
Well, thank you, my friend.
All right. This is a news show. Let's get to the fucking news.
No, it isn't. No, no.
Yep.
This is a TJ versus Pelosi erotic fan fiction show now.
Okay. Well, since that's all you got, let's move on to the news to fill the rest of the time.
Love was forbidden. In a time of political division.
So Joe Biden has yet another gaffe-filled media appearance.
Isn't that just par for the course? I mean, yeah. If Joe Biden shows up somewhere, doesn't he just fuck up?
All right, so there's three gaffes in this interview. They're going to switch to actually showing the clips in a minute here.
Yeah, we just got to get through this horrible modern shit.
Yeah.
I suggested that we should have people in China at the outset of this event. And when it all started in Luhan province.
So did you catch that?
Luhan province. Yeah.
So he called Wuhan Luhan. That's the first one.
It's like Liu Kang or something to Mortal Kombat.
I was the first one to call for the president way back in January 17th to take this seriously.
He actually didn't call for that until January 27th. So that might not even be a gaffe. That might just literally be him pushing the date back to make it seem like he was more prescient than he actually was.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know about that one so much as like, I mean, get the date wrong, whatever. I don't really care as much about that.
Well, thanks for giving me the time.
Thank you.
So they don't wonder where I am.
That was just him trying to make light of the fact that he vanishes from the public eye for long stretches. You know, I guess it's really not really a gaffe. It's more of just a joke about how they hide him in the broom closet for like, you know, days at a time.
He's like Harry Potter, dude. He lives under the stairs. Oh, well, they need Joe again. Unlock the fucking the closet. Let him out.
Break glass in case of Joe. Another thing going on with the Joe Biden thing right now is these sexual assault allegations from Tara Reid, not the famous Tara Reid, but Tara Reid, a former staffer for one of Biden's campaigns.
He's innocent, TJ.
Joseph R. Biden's presidential campaign on Friday denied a graphic sexual assault allegation made by former Senate staffer Tara Reid. Women have the right to tell their story, and reporters have an obligation to rigorously vet those claims. Kate B. Bedingfield, the deputy campaign manager and communications director, said in a statement. We encourage them to do so because these accusations are false. Last year, Ms. Reed was one of several women who accused Mr. Biden of unwanted touching, saying he used to put his hand on my shoulder and run his fingers up my neck when she worked in the Senate office in the early 90s. During a podcast interview with Katie Halper Wednesday, Ms. Reed revealed there's much more to her story. She accused Biden of pinning her against a wall and penetrating her with his fingers without her consent in his Senate office in 1993. He greeted me. He remembered my name. And then we were alone. It was the strangest thing. There was no like exchange, really. He had me up against the wall. His hands were on me and underneath my clothes, and he went down my skirt and then up inside, and he penetrated me with his fingers, and he was kissing me at the same time, and he was saying something to me. I remember him saying first, like, as he was doing it, do you want to go somewhere else? And then him saying to me when I pulled away, he got finished doing what he was doing, and I kind of pulled back, and he said, come on, man, I heard you liked me.
Oh. Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man. I heard you liked me.
Dude, this move, if it went down like she's saying it is, and I'm going to go ahead, because there's really no way this is ever going to be proven or disproven, I'm going to go ahead and just believe that this happened. That's where I stand on it. And I can't even imagine making this move.
Yeah.
This move is insane. Like, so a woman you've never had any kind of sexual contact with, you just wait until you're alone one day, push her up against the wall and finger bang her.
Yep.
I Jesus.
See, the media and a lot of the Democrats kind of painted themselves into a corner with this, because the refrain for a while now has been, you know, believe women. We need to take these kind of accusations seriously. And now that it's happening to Joe Biden, it's like, you know, we need to vet these claims. And, you know, this never happened. And we don't believe her.
We need proof of this this rape.
All of a sudden, they're back to, like, you know, due process, guys. It's like, weren't you just like, believe women, like, 5 minutes ago? But now it's like, you know, due process is important. We need to validate these events.
DJ, in my view, we need to have this loser drop out and have someone else run his place. I have a perfect candidate in mind.
Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah, we need fucking goddamn Bernie, dude. Like, the worst they have with Bernie is, like, he wrote that rape fantasies were okay in the 70s or something. Like, Joe Biden is now accused of finger banging one of his interns. And I mean, like, there's a lot of evidence that Joe Biden has done really uncomfortable things, made a ton of people uncomfortable around him, especially women.
I was in an office alone with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. It was back when he was mayor of Burlington. And he closed the door. And I said, why are you closing the door, Mayor Sanders? And then he took off my skirt and he rammed a stapler up my ass. It's coming. Don't you worry. But yeah, this, I've even seen, I probably should have pulled the tweets, but there've been people tweeting stuff like, you know, well, look, Biden and Trump are both rapists, so might as well vote for the rapist with the better policies, you know?
I mean, wow.
Are you
the
serious?
Cognitive dissonance is real.
Yeah, and then another person, you know, people.
Remember the show with Brett Kavanaugh when he was like, there was obviously that big story about him and, you know, getting blacked out drunk, and it was like, there's no way this man could be on the Supreme Court. Where's the call to say Joe Biden has no place being president? Which they said the same thing about Trump when he said grab him by the pussy. Joe Biden, according to this, did grab someone by the pussy.
Yeah.
I mean,
we know Trump said it.
And again, how are they any fucking different?
Well, because this story is completely, categorically false.
Oh, yeah, of course. They always are, aren't they? I mean, yeah, obviously, we don't know for certain. I'm not saying 100%. Like, oh, we know. This is how it went down. And, like, Paul, I mean, that's what Paul even said, and we'll never know. We're never going to know what the fuck happened in 1993.
I just wish the standard was consistent across the board for these kind of things.
I agree.
And it just seems like, you know, whether or not you care about believe women or whether you care about the whole, like, due process kind of thing, it seems to be dependent on how you already feel about the person before, you know, before the accusation. And that's ridiculous. There just needs to be one consistent fucking standard. But of course, that's asking way too much of the American media or even the American electorate.
Well, you're also talking about something that happened 27 years ago. They're saying, you know, oh, we have to look into this. What was there to fucking look into? She's made an allegation. He's going to deny it. A bunch of surrogate defense are going to come out and go, that never happened. Joe Biden would never do that. I've known Joe for 25 years, and Joe would have never done anything to make anyone uncomfortable ever.
Let's just sniff his fingers.
Damn,
let's give his fingers a sniff. That'll tell the tale.
Oh,
the tale of the king, dude.
I smell pussy. All right. You guys ready for another clip show?
I love how this one's called The Wretched.
At least it's aptly named, probably.
This is The Wretched. Oh. Is it about a chupacabra?
Hey, what's going on?
Apparently nothing.
Hey, neighbor. You see anything weird outside your house, you tell me, all right?
I'd be like, the only thing weird I see outside my house is you, you fucking creep. Get out of here.
Yeah, leave me alone.
Oh, shit, weird lights going on.
Uh-oh.
Dad, Mom's being weird.
Mom's always been weird.
What are you doing up here?
Dylan! Don't let her in.
My son likes to play hide and seek. Can you bring him down?
I didn't say he was here.
You're a very stupid boy.
Can I help you?
Is Dylan home?
Dylan, down here, baby.
You know, your son, Dylan?
I don't have a son.
He had no idea who I was talking about.
Listen to Mommy! Say, Dylan!
He's gone. I know it.
I'd like to report a missing kid.
Are you okay, Ben?
Where is your sister?
I need you to tell me what's going on! Ben!
Wow.
So there's that one again.
No thanks. No thanks. Like, just I've just seen this movie 10 million fucking times.
We live an idyllic life
until things start turning up, and like it's like, you know, oh, they'll be start being clues. It's just, you know, they've made a million of these fucking slow burn, and the mystery unravels slowly, and the mom is a fucking demon or some shit or been possessed or
I think she's a chupacabra.
She's a chupacabra.
I think she's a chupacabra.
I don't know, man. Nothing in this trailer made me think it was anything but just another typical fucking horror movie.
Hundreds of bottles of toxic beer found hidden beneath Victorian era staircase.
Now, this is the next level of the red liquid from the dark sarcophagus.
Gotta drink it.
They're saying it's toxic because they don't want to share its power. Look, everybody deserves a swig of the ancient Victorian beer.
Archaeologists in Leeds, England, discovered more than 600 bottles of beer on the wall at the site of the old Victorian brewery, stacked neatly beneath a cellar staircase. The beer inside these 19th century bottles contains dangerous concentrations of lead. Yeah. How about you let the consumer make that fucking determination, eh? The bottles were found beneath the remains of what used to be the Scarborough Castle Inn in the cellar of the old Teatley Brewery, reports the drinks business. Archaeologist service WYAS, maybe that's pronounced Wyas, in the midst of investigating this part of Leeds as developers prepared for the construction of a residential neighborhood, according to the Yorkshire Evening Post. The Teatley Brewery dates back to the Victorian era, but the site itself dates back as England's medieval era, as far back as England's medieval era. Yeah, I think I feel like we should be able to drink these beers if we want.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, oh, there's too much lead in them. I mean, like, how did the lead get in there? What, the lead fucking crawled through the bottle? No, this is how the beer was brewed back then. People didn't give a fuck if there was a little lead in their beer.
I mean,
it made them tough. It made them robust. kept their balls big.
It's like a special brew that was lost time. I mean, how we don't know? No, this was made by witches or some shit, dude. This is probably a witch's brew. And they're trying to scare us off and say, oh, it's made of lead. Let the consumer buy this stuff. These developers need to immediately put this up for sale.
I like how this is it says here, filed to deadly beer.
Is there a deadly beer section here?
I feel like this is probably the only story in it. Yeah, it is. Why'd you create a new fucking section for this? Do you really fucking anticipate more deadly beer stories moving forward, Gizmodo?
You never know.
I want it. I want a swig. I want it now.
A swig, dude. You might that swig might be too much for you.
No.
You might have to have like a thimbleful.
I have tasted the red liquid from the dark sarcophagus.
Yeah, I was able to get a hold of that for Paul. And I mean that kind of changed like Paul's entire like state of being and shit.
Well, that was level one. This is how I ascend to level two.
You have to remember, Paul, I also, even though I didn't win it, I did take a swig, but you know what? I'm pretty much convinced it didn't alter me because I didn't rightfully win it. So that's probably why it just tasted so bad.
Yeah, the red liquid from the dark sarcophagus knew you weren't worthy.
It's like, fuck you, bitch.
You're lucky it didn't just melt you down to a skeleton where you stood.
I'm very lucky to be alive.
Speaking of booze buying surges. Senators push airlines for cash refunds. I don't really care about the airline thing, but...
Yeah, fuck them.
This beer and this booze thing is pretty cool. Blah, 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 blah. Safety in the workplace. Where's the fucking booze shit? Yeah, whatever. Booze sales are up. That's the fucking punchline.
Oh, weed sales.
Yeah. It's like people are looking for some kind of escape from for some reason. I don't know.
I can't imagine why.
I know. I've been I haven't really been drinking more. I guess I haven't really been smoking more either. So, but I mean, I don't know. I keep thinking about drinking. Like, I don't actually drink, but I kind of look at my alcohol and I'm like, maybe I should drink. Then I think about the horrible taste of alcohol and think about how my stomach's going to feel and think about how my head's going to feel. And I'm just like, I think I'll just stick with not drinking.
Because the thing is, when you're younger, you can do the same shit and be fine. You're like, you know what? I'll throw back a few and you don't give a shit. The older you get, you're like, oh, man, I'm going to feel terrible tomorrow. Like, I'm going to pass on that.
Unless you're just one of these dudes. Or women, I guess, that just drink every day. So it's just like, you know,
it's your state of being,
become part of your just like hardwired in your DNA.
Them days are long past for me. I don't know. I don't know when my ability to drink fled, but it's long gone. I can still do it, but I pay the ultimate fucking price. I guess I've been drinking a little bit more than usual for me.
Right, you've been drinking beers and stuff, right?
Yeah. I've been having a beer here and there.
Yeah, I mean that's one thing. I mean, like, you know, the alcohol content of those beers is so like diluted down.
Yeah, I mean, you throw back a beer a night. I mean, that ain't a big deal. I mean, we're talking like, you know, you're fucking doing a fifth of vodka or some shit. That's when you start getting in territory of like, oh man, you're gonna fucking. I mean, like, I think we mentioned one of the episodes we did recently, but we knew this guy, JD, and every fucking night, the dude would drink so much. He literally, you hear this like 2 o'clock, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We visit my mom and Steve at their house because he lived under the stairs there. That's a story within itself. We just hear this. It was like clockwork. I mean, so some people just get so into alcohol that it's just like it takes over their lives. But I think most people are just like Paul. They're going to throw back a beer and, you know, does it really affect you if you throw back? Like, what do you drink, Paul, about a beer or two a night?
Not even a night. Just you know, a couple times a week I'll have a beer or two. And usually that's spread out farther than that. But, yeah, I'm not really drinking.
Trump finalizes rollback of Obama-era vehicle fuel efficiency standards.
Finally.
And, you know,
a return to sanity.
This is a, you know, major win for the fossil fuel industry, of course. Car manufacturers, they benefit from this. The environment doesn't really benefit from it.
Who cares about that?
So these President Donald Trump's administration on Tuesday completed a rollback of U.S. vehicle emission standards adopted under his predecessor, Barack Obama, and will require 1.5 annual increase in efficiency through 2026. Far weaker than the 5% in the discarded rules. The announcement condemned by Democrats and environmentalists while being lauded by Republicans and business interests, shocking, sets up a legal battle with California and 22 other states planning to challenge the rewrite of what had been the most ambitious U.S. policies aimed at combating climate change. The Trump administration's called the move its largest single deregulatory action and said it will save automakers upwards of $100 billion in compliance costs. The policy reversal marks the latest step by Trump, a Republican, to erase environmental policies pursued by Obama, a Democrat. If you're at the point where you need – if you're so fucking dumb like that you need to be told that Trump's a Republican and Obama's a Democrat – like, what are you even doing reading the fucking news in the first place? Like, I don't need this, like, Trump, a Republican, Obama, a Democrat. So this is, of course, terrible news for the environment. It's actually terrible news for consumers as well, because although auto manufacturers can sell cars cheaper without these standards, you know, people pay end up paying a lot more at the fucking gas pump.
Fuck their $100 billion for automakers. Fuck them. Because we're talking about the environment. We're talking about something that's not just some unlimited renewable resource. Like, them making cars have a slightly higher standard makes perfect sense. What about the environmental impacts of climate change? Look at the droughts in California. Look at the droughts all over the world. Look at the rising sea level. It's going to displace millions upon millions of people. I mean, you're talking about that. That's in the fucking trillions of dollars in damage it's going to do to save assholes $100 billion. Like, that's basically the $100 billion is being saved on the backs of fucking humanity.
I mean, this is just reflective of what we do know. It's, you know, like the whole fucking pandemic shit. It's like we wait until it's absolutely uncontrollably bad, and then all of a sudden there's this rush to do something about it. It's just kicking the can down the road politically. Like, let the next couple of generations deal with this shit, because, you know, tomorrow it's not going to be devastating. So, hey, who cares?
Tomorrow your car gets to be a little cheaper, you know, and the auto manufacturers get to make some more money.
Well, it just keeps people stuck in this fucking in the wheel. You know what I mean? You got to buy a car. You got to do this. It's like, you know, we can't break out of these old systems unless you start thinking about new and different ideas, you know, and that's really the problem. It's like, we look at the problem like, oh, well, we're going to do this more watered down increase. It's like, why don't we look at actually getting rid of so many people driving fucking cars, especially in highly densely populated areas. Like the first areas, it would make sense to take all these cars off the road. We've basically given cities to these fucking personal vehicles. Like, how much space do we spend on parking lots? I mean, how much fucking space do we allot to them on our fucking, you know, where, how do you enjoy a lot of these cities? It's like, you're just, it's a fucking, just a barrage of traffic. People constantly complain about it. Instead of making these public transit systems more efficient, like other countries where everyone can ride cheaply, ride in a way more environment friendly manner, we just continue to fucking rely on this old way of doing things. That's probably the biggest problem with the American mentality to me, is it's like, well, it works. It's like, it doesn't really work, though. It really doesn't. It's just like, it's this total, like, sort of false notion that this is going to make things better, you know, and oh, well, we're doing this for the economy. It's like, you know, if we keep doing things just for the economy and that's our only consideration, we're going to leave this planet just a wasteland.
Evidence of ancient rainforest found in Antarctica.
Dude, I'm dead on again.
Damn.
Once global warming hits, this place is going to be a fucking tropical paradise.
When dinosaurs roam.
I'm going to own all of it, too.
Yeah. I mean, Paul, you've already been buying up all that Antarctica land, I know.
Yep.
You've been getting it for like a dollar an acre and shit.
Unfortunately, he's been buying ice sheets, so.
When dinosaurs roamed the Earth 90 million years ago, the planet was much warmer, including Antarctica and the South Pole. But in a surprising twist, researchers have discovered evidence that Antarctica also supported a swampy rainforest at the time, according to a new study. Researchers captured a slice of the seafloor using a drill rig aboard a polar research vessel on West Antarctica's Amundsen Sea. Between February and March in 2017, the sediment core sample was taken to near the Pine Island and the Thwaites Glaciers. CT scans of the sediment's core revealed pristine samples of forest soil, pollen, spores, and even root systems so well preserved they could identify cell structures. The soil included examples of pollen from the first flowering plants found this close to the South Pole.
See, this shit is scary. They're digging up ancient pollen that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what if that pollen is horribly, horribly fucking poisonous?
Yeah. Or what if it's Audrey 2 pollen, you know?
Yeah. or they get a spore from some horrible fucking fungus beast that used to exist that escapes their lab. See, this is just bullshit. Quit digging. Quit looking where you need not look, science.
It's coming, though, Paul. I mean, look, with the planet heating up, like, soon we're going to be living in this swampy wasteland if humanity survives at all. So we're going to have to start dealing with these fungi or this pollen or whatever. We're going to it's going to be a fact of life. We're going to have to deal with this shit.
But Paul, once again, proven right. Because, I mean, obviously, they said this was what it was like when the planet was warmer. So when it gets warm again, it's going to revert.
It's going to bloom.
It's going to revert right on back to this. And Paul's going to have... you know, this lush jungle land while the rest of the earth is a barren desert
with beautiful, pristine white sand beaches as far as the eye can see.
Well, don't say I didn't warn you. I mean, Paul's been encouraging people to buy land there for a while now, so it's their own damn fault.
Yeah, I stopped encouraging people because I want to buy it all for myself. Now I'm encouraging people to jump on their ticket. Book your ticket now to come to my resort.
Oh, this is... This is the actual thing about the alcohol sales, I guess. Alcohol sales are through the roof amid the coronavirus pandemic. The Associated Press reported Tuesday that Nielsen data indicated alcohol sales were up 55% for the week of March 21st. Beer increased 42% and wine was up 66%. So that's just kind of maybe a little information on something we already discussed. But
wait a minute. Scroll down.
Yeah.
This right here is why America won't lose to the coronavirus. These numbers are proof that America refuses to surrender to anything. So wait, sitting alone at home and drinking copious amounts of booze is not surrender anymore?
It's freedom.
Yeah, that's standing up and taking a fucking fight.
Yeah. Get drunk, I mean, you know, like at least they're staying at their home, hopefully.
The coronavirus forces all to stay home. That's fine. We're not going to get into a rut. We're just going to drink ourselves into a fucking alcoholic stupor.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be that sitting at home and getting drunk was a rut. But yeah. I guess now.
Now it's patriotism.
But the paradigm has shifted, Paul. You got to get with the paradigm shift.
You can't have a frown when you're day drinking away the pandemic. Yeah, I'm sure none of those people that are just holed up in their houses drinking copious amounts of booze are they're all grinning ear to ear, man. Their lives are wonderful.
This is awesome. Now, Paul, this is my birthday present to you.
Oh boy.
Louisiana sees over 1,200 new coronavirus cases in one day.
I mean, whatever.
One day, Paul.
Not shocking.
Louisiana suffered its worst day yet in the state's coronavirus outbreak Tuesday.
I'm sorry, today. A cheering crowd.
Woo!
So happy. Our state yet again does it again.
With more than 50 deaths and 1,200 new cases, according to to health officials. The newly diagnosed 2,212 cases brought the state's tally to 5,237 cases, representing a 30% increase in 24 hours, according to Louisiana Department of Health. Which is, by the way, that's just a guy with one tooth in a shack somewhere.
Oh, it's a 30% increase, Ma! Oh, damn!
Within the same period, 54 died from the virus, pushing the death toll to 239, and marking its deadliest day since the Pelican States... I've lived in Louisiana pretty much all my life. I've never heard no one call it the Pelican State. So
it's not called that. Dude, there's a snowball stand, TJ. It's actually really close to your house too. And like I drove by there on Sunday. I was going to go walk on the race. Dude, it was fucking packed. Ass to ass. You know, all these fucking people and their kids running around playing and shit. And it's like people in the state just don't take it seriously. And I'm sure that's probably in every state you're seeing shit like that.
You know what else is packed, bro? Church.
Oh yeah, of course.
I mean, is it shocking to anybody that Louisiana is a giant outbreak fucking center?
No.
Louisiana, like we knew this shit was spreading like wildfire, and Louisiana's like, oh, it don't matter. People all over the world come down and get some watered down booze and stumble drunkenly through the piss smelling streets of the French Quarter. Come on down, everybody. Spread around that damn virus. This fucking place, man.
Louisiana church packed for services again, despite charges against pastor amid pandemic. So the back, I don't know if you guys, I don't know if we covered it here or not or whatever, but there was a guy who He refused to shut down his church. He still held services, and he was
DJ.
He was arrested for it.
He wants us together, DJ.
I was actually watching a story about this last night, and they went, while all these people were filing into the church, another redneck who was like a smarter redneck, I guess, drove by the church. He's like, "Y'all crazy! Need to close down the church."
I love it, dude.
I was like, "Man, that redneck is right."
This just shows what a stranglehold religion has on this state. Because any other sane state would just be like, this place should be shut down. And if they try to gather again, just fucking lock the doors. Like, no, you guys have to go somewhere else.
Central Louisiana, buses and cars filled a Louisiana church parking lot for another service Tuesday evening as worshipers flocked to hear a Louisiana pastor who is facing misdemeanor charges for holding services despite a ban on gatherings amid the coronavirus pandemic. A few protesters turned out, too, including a man shouting through a bullhorn against those gathering at the Life Tabernacle Church in the city of Central, where Pastor Tony Spell has been holding services. Another demonstrator held up a sign reading, "God doesn't like stupid."
What are you talking about?
That's God, what he loves.
God don't like stupid.
God don't like stupid.
Right. He fucking loves stupid. He loves a bunch of stupid fucking saps going to go to a fucking church or pack 1,500 people in. Oh, man, I just wish we could just isolate these people, put them on a fucking island, just let the disease kill them all.
So
dude, I've got the answer to this shit.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just like activate the military, have them surround these churches. And the next time the people show up, let them in and then board up all the windows and chain up the door and let them all stay inside the fucking church. And when they pound on the door going like, "What will we eat?" Just say like, "God will sustain you. God sustains all those who come to him in penitent prayer."
There you go.
I like that.
Handle itself.
So, yeah. And people keep getting mad at this pastor, but like, what about the stupidity of his flock who just like are willing to ignore a global pandemic and come to this church? I hope they all fucking get it. I hope every single last one of them fucking gets it.
In fact, this is the reason why that last story exists. This is the reason why there's like 3,000 new cases a day. Because these dumb fucking swamp dwelling muck raking hillbillies don't get it. So
it's like a flu, Paul. Ain't no big deal. God needs his money still. And that's why this guy wants to keep this open. Tony's a fucking Spell, whatever the fuck his name is.
Tony Spell.
He wants
put a spell on you.
The saps can go in there and fucking put more money in his pocket. They got to plant that little seed in his pocket. Got to keep enriching him. These guys are all the fucking same. They want to keep driving their Rolls Royces and flying on their private jets. And if they can't have that, their income, which is their flock coming in every week, they ain't making that money. So they don't give a fuck if they all get sick and die. They don't give a shit.
The virus, we believe, is politically motivated, Spell told WAFB. "We hold our religious rights dear, and we are going to assemble no matter what someone says."
Okay. Like, do what Paul said. Lock these motherfuckers in.
Permanent assembly, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got the right to assemble. You no longer have the right to disassemble. That's what you've lost now.
I mean, this would be all fine and dandy if these people weren't leaving their church and going to your local grocery store and coughing all over whatever's left of the fucking bread in the aisle so that you can take it home to your family. It'd be one thing if these people were just being self-destructive, but they're just spreading it around. There's a bunch of typhoid Marys, a bunch of stupid fucks too. Ugh.
Look what this guy's saying. Asked whether he was concerned about the pandemic, Spell said, "I'm no more concerned of, you moved to TJ. Where's that? Okay, there you go. I'm no more concerned than I would be going to Walmart or Home Depot."
Yeah, you should be concerned going to all three of those fucking places, you retard.
Yeah, you should be at home. People should be staying home as much as possible unless they need to go out for an essential reason, because you want to know why? Because it's a highly infectious disease, moron. Look at New York. Look at one of the most densely populated parts of our country. This disease is ravaging it. Hundreds of people are fucking dying every day.
Let me tell you something, boy. You say I should stay at home?
Yes.
Well, Home Depot is kind of like home. It's got all the same stuff you got at home, except there's more of it.
Listen to the weak government response. Earlier, Central Assistant Police Chief Darren Sibley said his officer has had no plans to try and stop Tuesday's prayer service, but he said they would document everything and forward everything to the district attorney.
Mm. Oh,
good job.
These religious fucks, man. Like, even in a time where a pandemic isn't raging, they just can't keep their stupidity contained within their own ranks. They cannot be fucking satisfied with just being stupid, God-bothering idiots alone. They got to come and attack our fucking political process. They got to fucking influence our politics. They got to influence our local fucking and state level measures. I got to get away from this. This just proves what I've felt all along. These people are harbingers of the apocalypse. They want the world to end. They've been praying for it for fucking ever.
They're a death cult. They are. I mean, when you argue with people and Christians, I mean, even from liberal Christians to the fucking most hardcore, it's always like, what's going to happen when you die? What's going to happen when you die? What's going to happen when you, hey, you got an answer for that? No, I fucking don't, because I don't fucking know what's going to happen when I die, and I don't claim to know. I don't have that knowledge, and I don't pretend to have that knowledge. And
focus on living, if that's okay. Is that cool?
It's like, all I have is one life.
Yeah, I'll worry about death when I'm dead. In fact, yeah, I won't worry about it then, because I'll be dead. So,
this whole thing is disillusion. I mean, like, as much as like the problems I have with Louisiana after seeing this is like, fuck this state.
What about all these people who are a part of a different death cult, the economic death cult? You know, these people who go around. They make statements like, you know, if I have to die to save the economy, then I'll do it.
It's a lot of the same people. That sentiment is coming out of a lot of the same people that are shuffling into this moron's fucking church every Sunday to spread around a pathogen.
Remember when
I got to get out of this fucking state. I'm not even joking. And you know what, dude, when we were talking about moving earlier, we were thinking about, like, what's the best place to situate a podcast? I'm moving to wherever the IQs are highest and religiosity is lowest.
Yeah, we'll have to do some research.
I don't care if it's good for a fucking podcast anymore. I'm dead fucking serious. I want to be as far from these stupid, bumbling, swamp-dwelling retards as I can fucking get.
We might have to leave the country at that point.
I'm fine. Yeah. Hey, if that's the way it's got to be, that's the way it's got to be.
Because, oh, what a detriment to us all.
Is there life on Mars?
Coast Guard. Cruise ships must stay at sea with sick on board.
Well, no shit. What's the alternative? And who are these dumb fucks?
Yeah, can you imagine being stupid enough to still be boarding a cruise at this point?
Abolish. Dude, I seriously, if society was smart, we would be taking an honest appraisal at the way we live our lives now and realizing these things are nothing but fucking disease, harbingers of disease and our own destruction of humanity. They're so bad for the environment. They're unbelievably bad. It's like, we don't need these fucking cruise ships. And like, it's just always people put everything ahead of that. And it's so self-centered. It's so narcissistic. It's like, oh, well, I want to go on a cruise. Well, you're destroying the fucking planet, bitch. So fuck your cruise.
The Coast Guard should fucking do humanity a favor and open up with a salvo of fucking hellfire on these ships and send them to the bottom of the ocean.
I agree completely.
So the U.S. Coast Guard has directed all cruise ships to prepare to treat any sick passengers and crew on board while being sequestered indefinitely offshore during the coronavirus pandemic.
Good.
The new rules require daily updates on each ship's coronavirus caseload for vessels in U.S. waters, and come with a stiff warning. Any foreign flagged vessels that loiter beyond U.S. territorial seas should try first to medically evacuate the very sick to those countries instead. Many of South Florida's cruise ships are registered in the Bahamas, where hospital capacity is limited and people are still recovering from last year's Hurricane Dorian. The rules, which apply to any vessel carrying more than 50 people, were issued in March in a March 29th safety bulletin signed by Coast Guard Rear Admiral E.C. Jones, whose district includes Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Puerto Rico. Dozens of cruise ships are either lined up in at the port Port Miami and Port Everglades or waiting offshore due to the coronavirus pandemic. Most have only crew aboard, but the Carnival Corp, which owns 9 cruise lines with a total of 105 ships, notified the SEC Tuesday that it has more than 6,000 passengers still at sea on 3 ships that will soon arrive in Fort Civitavecchia, Italy, and Southampton, England, as well as Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
Can you imagine being fucking stuck on a goddamn Corona cruise?
No, I can't.
For fucking,
you know why? You know why?
Because you would never get on board that thing.
Yeah, there's absolutely no fucking chance that I'm keeping my fucking reservation on one of these ships during a pandemic. So no, I can't imagine how stupid each and every one of the passengers on these ships must feel.
Yeah, the crew, I can only understand. That's their fucking job. That's how they survive in the world. Like, the fucking people that willingly got on the ship, like, it's just a fucking flu. I'll be fine. Do-do-do-do-do. Oh, no, I'm stuck at sea. Hey, you won the retard lottery. You get stuck on a fucking cruise ship during the pandemic. Good job, moron.
Yeah, a lot of fun there. This is our last Corona-adjacent story, I believe. This is about not so much the virus itself, but one of the things that's been happening in the name of the virus, I suppose. Judges block 3 states from limiting abortions during pandemic. So judges in Texas, Ohio, and Alabama lifted restrictions that were placed on abortion procedures as the coronavirus emergency continues. The states deemed that all non-essential medical procedures should be postponed as facilities handle the virus, and they either explicitly included abortion in this category or remained unclear. After abortion clinics and rights groups filed lawsuits, judges across all 3 states ruled in favor of the plaintiffs on Monday and temporarily blocked the abortion bans. The groups protesting the ban celebrated, while some state officials threatened to appeal. So basically, even in the midst of this coronavirus bullshit, there's still people in this abortion debate that are just they're trying to make it about. Like, this is just another example of people using this fucking moment as a chance to push their fucking political agenda. Like, oh, shit. Well, we got this coronavirus, so no abortions right now. It's like, okay, well, you know, then the other side's, you know, like, oh, no, we appeal and all this. Like, I mean, like, couldn't we just have a moratorium on this kind of bullshit? Like, we don't really need to be making, like, these sort of, like, social changes to society in the midst of a fucking pandemic, because these are not usual circumstances.
These when did they pass the Patriot Act?
Right, during after 9/11.
And Trump just rolled back
the emission standards, yeah.
Yeah, which was a very divisive issue. I mean, of course, the government has, like, a wish list of laws and shit they want to pass. And when shit like this happens, they just start salivating. They go, oh, my God, there's a crisis. Oh, this is fucking perfect because all the eyes are on that. Everyone's looking at the coronavirus.
We can do anything in the name of the crisis.
Oh, my God, we have to ban this. Oh, yeah. Because when you have people afraid and you have people scared, when's a better time? There is no better time, because even the people that would speak against you are so afraid of being labeled as like, well, you're not wanting to fight the virus. Oh, no, I want to fight the virus because, no one's on team fucking COVID-19. I mean, well, maybe there is somebody, but for the most part, most people are not going to want to have that label of, like, not taking it seriously. It's the ideal time.
I don't got a problem with this, I'll be honest with you, because each one of these laws restricting people's access to abortions came with a massive monetary and social investment in taking care of unwanted, neglected, and abused children. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
In fact, all the people that supported this opened their homes. Just a wide open door policy to any unwanted child. So, wow. You know, I mean, you can't fault them.
Yeah, that's very true. I forgot about that.
Let me tell you something.
Paul was being sarcastic, in case anyone out there is a moron.
Yeah, well, no, I understand that.
No, dude, I mean, I'm not talking to you, obviously.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, Taylor's mom,
yeah,
is a cop,
yeah,
that works domestic violence.
Right.
So we often hear about what people do to children, and it's disgusting. And you hear, and it's like, does this happen all the time? It's like, yep, every day. This shit happens every day. So people go, oh, no, it shouldn't be abortions. Like, You're not living the reality of so many kids that are unwanted. And you think that just means, oh, well, the parents aren't nice to them. There was one dad that literally he got a new girlfriend, okay, moved in with her and left his other two kids at his other house who were like 9 and 11 or something, or 7, and said, I'll drop off food once a week to you. But my new girlfriend doesn't like them. So, oh, it's 3 kids. The little one that's cute, she can come. The other kids have to live on their own.
I saw this. I saw this social media post somewhere. Somebody had taken a couple of months apart, like Facebook posts from somebody's timeline and posted them. The first one was, "I talked my mom out of getting an abortion. God is glorious. Blah 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 blah." And then the next post is, "Well, turns out CPS took my mom's kid." And as if it couldn't get worse, she listed me as the next of kin, and they're wanting me to take this kid, and I can't do that. That would destroy me.
That's
so just like cognitive dissonance all the way through.
I saw that post too.
It's just religion too. I mean, if you boil this down, if you go, okay, what's the societal problem that makes people this fucking dissonant? It's religion.
Yeah,
100%.
And it's crazy because, you know, I've pointed out a million times, but there's nothing in the Bible that's anti-abortion. There's literally nothing there. Like, they pulled this out of their ass. So, I mean, like, it's not even part of, like, the scriptural doctrine of their fucking religion. It's, like, something that's, like, emerged later on.
Well, you know, 2,000-plus years ago, no one was going for their fucking abortion procedure. You know what I mean?
Oh, they had abortion 2,000 years ago.
They did, but I'm saying that, but no one was going into a fucking clinic. You know what I
mean? Right, yeah. That was like when you went to like
people would take a certain herbs and stuff, and then it would, you know, they'd have an abortion.
Yeah, I don't know where you exactly went, but you'd go and you'd get like the bitter water and shit, you know,
or something like that.
Yeah, and they would give you that, and you'd drink it, and it would like kill the baby and stuff.
Yeah, take the herb of the willow plant or whatever, you know, and then you know your blood cycle will, you know, become heavy or whatever. I don't know. It's just like you would take something and you would, you know,
the baby get aborted. This is something Paul pulled. This is Governor Andrew Cuomo, who there's been a lot of talk lately, and it hasn't. I pulled a story about it last week, and it was kind of like, you know, this is a fucking fantasy. But it keeps getting brought up, the idea that this guy is going to be somehow get the Democratic nomination, even though he hasn't run. You know, like the Democratic, you know. The DNC is just going to appoint him out of fucking nowhere. This is a picture that suggests that he might have nipple rings, I guess.
There's no suggestion about it. These are nipple rings. Online, there were a bunch of defenders saying, we don't know what this is. This could be suspenders.
Suspenders. Well, you don't wear you don't wear suspenders underneath a collar.
Yeah.
You know. Dude. Pull down the shirt.
The governor of New York is fucking kinky, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know for sure that those are nipple rings. That seems like it's the most likely explanation for this, right?
Those are nipple rings.
TJ, you know. What else is it then? If you can give me a better explanation, I'll listen.
I mean, it could just be a trick of the fucking light and the shadow. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's a trick of the shadow.
Come on, dude.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you sit down and like, you know, your pants kind of fluff up in such a way that it looks like you have a boner, but you don't actually have the boner. A
nipple expert, Paul's ego.
Paul. Oh, it happens to me all the time where a trick of the shadow makes obvious nipple barbells show up underneath my shirt. You know what I mean?
Maybe
I can't even count the amount of times that I've looked down and gone like, whoa, look at those shadow trick nipple barbells.
I mean, we have video of this? Because I mean, like, look, I mean, a single picture, it could create an optical illusion.
The only illusion is that this guy isn't hanging from like meat hooks from those fucking piercings at night, while some big buff leather daddy fucking whips his ass raw.
I'm gonna see if there's any more evidence of this. Let's see.
You're looking at it, TJ. See, I don't know why this is so controversial. People are so adverse to thinking that Cuomo's got nipple rings.
I'm not adverse to it. I just don't know that this picture alone proves it.
Well,
I'm a skeptic, TJ.
Yeah, I mean, it's short of him stripping off his fucking shirt and revealing these things, this is about as close as you're going to get.
Let's see. Here's another picture. That's, I think it's from the same thing.
Oh, look at that optical illusion. Another one. Yeah. Another optical illusion poking through his shirt.
Yeah,
there.
You can still see him there. I'm going to go ahead and say the fact that I can see it in a separate picture from a different angle is pretty suggestive that's real.
That's real, dude. I mean,
I think this is even better. This is like, there's three pictures here. Oh yeah. This is a good look. We can really kind of scrutinize now. Yeah, I still see him.
Yep. They're still there.
Let's see. What do we got going on here? This is kind of weird looking. Scrutinize Como's nipples. Yeah. What
the fuck, dude?
What the fuck is going on? Because
the only thing I could possibly believe is that like he has a massive scar on each nipple. But that seems so unlikely. Like, how would that even fucking happen?
No, he's got nipple rings for sure.
Yeah, there's something. I mean, like the nipple rings is just the most. It's the simplest explanation for this.
Unless, like, unless each one of his like man tits is like an udder, and he's got multi nips or something.
Yeah, I mean, like either he's got nipple rings, or there's some kind of very odd nipple deformity going on. Or, I guess that's
possible. Now the question is: does this make you more or less likely to support him?
More.
Well, I knew your answer.
Yeah, obviously. I mean,
hey, you know what? I'm not going to kink shame. I mean, if he likes to get fucking tied up and beaten by a big buff, leather daddy, if that's his thing, you know, I mean, who am I to judge? Who the fuck am I to judge?
Yeah, I mean, he's got some of them nipple barbells going on.
I mean,
that's pretty obvious.
Does it affect his job? You know, is he going to be any worse of a politician because he does it? I mean, seems like he might be a little bit better.
I wish someone at this press conference that he's at right here would have just been like, excuse me, Governor, could you take your shirt off and can we see if you're wearing, do you have nipple rings?
I mean, he's going to take them out now before every one of these appearances for sure.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be like, oh, that was, something else.
Here you go. Completely unpierced nipples.
Last night was a little strange.
yeah, that was, that was a weird shirt.
It's one of our favorite talking heads. His brother, in fact, actually has the coronavirus. Chris Cuomo.
Yeah, Fredo Cuomo has it.
Yeah, Fredo.
Yeah.
You won't get that, TJ. You haven't watched The Godfather.
But I got the reference because everyone was calling him Fredo for a week.
Oh, that's right. After his big thing where he blew up at the guy.
Yeah, everyone was calling him Fredo after that.
Listen, you knucklehead, don't call me Fredo, okay? That's an insult to my people. Oh.
So, Paul, would you like to read your proclamation to the plebs? Or,
I mean, it's not. I didn't even write it down because it's very simple.
So, do you want it to be a pleb thing, or do you want only the patrons to hear your proclamation?
I think everybody needs to hear it.
Right. I think we need triumphant music, though, TJ.
Do you need triumphant music, Paul?
No, it's just gonna if we were in person, it would work, but. It just interferes.
Gotcha.
All right.
So just imagine triumphant music.
Okay.
Gotcha. So pretty much my whole life, since I've been aware of, you know, the passage of time, aging, and the ultimate mortality that faces every human being, I always thought to myself, like, when I'm 40, I'm truly old. Like, yeah, you know, 30 is old, but man, it's nothing compared to 40. I kind of dreaded it for a long chunk of my life, but as I've gotten closer and closer to it, I've come to embrace it because it means some very positive things for me. Number one, I'm an old man now. Now, most people agree that you treat old, doddering men with a certain amount of kid gloves. You know what I mean? You don't, like your grandpa. Your grandpa says something that's wrong. You don't jump all over him to fucking correct him. You just kind of nod your head and you say, yeah, grandpa, yeah. Because you don't want to bother an old man. You don't want to get his dander up. So the basic proclamation is this. No more bothering me. No more harassing me. No more horrible fat jokes. Because that's just going to get my dander up. And that's mean to do to an old man. Like, it was one thing when I was a youngster. But no more complaints. No more crying, no more whining, no more correcting me. And you just got to accept everything I say at face value. That's basically it. I don't think I'm asking much. I mean, look, any old man is afforded the same fucking comforts in life. So I'm there now. I'm 40. You can't do this to me anymore.
Yeah, but unfortunately for you, Paul, 40 is the new 30. So you're not actually officially an old man until you're 50.
That's only true outside of the U.S. In the U.S., 40 is the new 65.
You're right. Okay, I'll abide by your proclamation, Paul. Actually, I probably won't, but I'll encourage the audience to.
Don't hassle me. Don't correct me. Just nod and smile.
Yeah, I'm. You can't see it, but I'm nodding and smiling right now.
Well, my support is contingent on a few things, Paul.
Oh, Scotty has conditions.
You have to start wearing cardigans and stuff like that. You have to start dressing like an old man.
Fair enough.
You know, I want to hear you complain about your joints a lot. You know, like, oh, my back, oh, my elbows, my arms.
How would that be new?
Yeah, already, I'm already doing that.
No, I want to even go up another level. I want, like, every time I see Paul, it's like, oh, this weather we're having gets my hip, you know, like, I want that. I think beyond that, as long as you start acting more crotchy and old and, like, start doing, oh, I'm Paul.
I've spent a significant amount of this quarantine sitting in a rocking chair on my porch.
That's good.
Crying internally about how much my knees / back / neck / arms and shoulders and hips hurt. So I'm there. You know what good. I mean? I can abide by that.
I got you the rocking chair, Paul. That's why I did it. I was like, you know what? Paul's an old man. He needs this.
So I want all of you plebs out there to contemplate the lamentations of Paul. The proclamations and what he has, you know, and fucking carefully consider how you're going to treat Paul in the future. But I also want you to consider becoming patrons, because the patrons, for the patrons, this show's only about half over. For you guys, it's over. So we're going to move on without you. And that doesn't
get
that feel
off
sad?
My lawn.
Doesn't it feel sad to be left behind? You don't have
get
to
get off my lawn, plebs.
You don't have to accept that fate. You can become patrons. It's easy.
Deep bad fight. Deep bad fight.